Good afternoon. This is Community Focus. The host of this program is Gregory T. Roberts and myself, Melvin Burns II. I am still here solo in the studio as my brother Greg continues to recover. So you all make sure you send your thoughts and prayers out to Gregory T. Let's get him back in here as soon as possible. Today is Friday, May the 9th. We're moving along through May. This is 103.7 The Beat. We're going to jump right into our program today. Our first guest is a friend of mine. He's been a longtime friend, but he's way more than that. He is a business owner. And we were just talking about this. He's a project manager. He is a counselor and one of the most sound voices you will hear in Muskegon County. Would you join me in welcoming to the program, Mr. Cedric Scott?
Thank you.
Hey, Brother Scott, how are you doing?
I'm well. Okay. Thanks for having me.
Yes, sir. For people that don't know you, just briefly tell people who you are and about your business.
Well, I'm Cedric Scott, obviously, as aforementioned. I'm also a limited licensed psychologist. I own a community counseling center called Lazarus Man Consulting. Lazarus Man Consulting was established to help address the shortage of mental health providers in Muskegon County. May not know this, but it's 430 people to every one mental health therapist in Muskegon County. Wow. That is higher than the national average, which is 337 national average, United States. Okay. And so we provide mental health as well as substance use disorder counseling, parent re-engagement opportunities. So we try to be, as I mentioned, a community counseling center, provide services and outreach.
And where are you located?
2416 Peck Street. Okay. 2416 Peck Street. I hesitated because I almost gave my mother's old address, which is 2412 Jefferson.
Once it's in that brain, it doesn't go anywhere. You probably remember the old phone number too, don't you?
I do. It was 616 then, 733-4345. Remember? It was 616.
That was
the area code. Yeah.
You got to talk about the 231. Say, no, we remember the 616.
Yes. It's kind of a standing joke. I, at Christ Temple, I did a presentation on Tuesday, but I hope you get a chance to talk a little bit about that. And we kind of joked about that and how I'm dating myself. Christ Temple's phone number is 231-733-4745. So that was similar to my mother's. You know, those are two numbers that I learned early on, the phone number to Christ Temple Church and, my mother's phone number.
You got to have
it. And it never changed. You know, your mother's phone never changed. Not like now. We got throwaway phones and everything. Everything's
Yep. You kept those numbers for 50 years, man. Well, man, it's good to have you on the program today. You know, you talked about being at Christ Temple. Tell folks a little bit about the program you were hosting there this past Tuesday.
Well, this is what we were calling part two of just an effort to create a dialogue among not only the church members, but this was a community event. And I went on different radio stations throughout the community and tried to advertise it in newspapers and as well as at my organization, passing out flyers at schools and everything. Just a conversation about mental health. This subject Tuesday was removing the mental health stigma.
Yes.
And I've done, as I mentioned, four other sessions prior to this last year, actually. And we covered different topics along the way. Trauma, substance use disorder, effects on the family, things like that. And we're going to try and double down as well as deeper dive in some of these subjects coming through the rest of this year. But just having a dialogue. I like to try to generate more interest in it, but I realize that this subject is almost taboo, if you will. No one likes to talk about this because no one wants that stigma of being labeled with a mental health disorder. Although it's no different than if we were diagnosed with diabetes or high blood pressure.
Which we do, yes.
Yes, it's kind of, it requires attention and medical treatment sometimes, medical attention, as well as ongoing changes in our lifestyle. So,
yes.
So I that's kind of my mission today, is to try to share that much of it as I can about this with other people and encourage them to visit Lazarus Man Consulting, if they will, and for counseling. I'm here, and there's three other therapists here as well. So. Okay. Don't want to see me. Maybe we got such a, you know, you worried about that relationship, whatever. I got other therapists here. And, yeah. Lazarus Man, I'll refer you somewhere else as well. Yeah. But my main concern is just to get you introduced to some counseling and making some different choices and decisions to improve your life, you know.
Yes. Yeah. And you informed me earlier, this is National Mental Health Month. So it's a good time for us to talk about some things. Now you talk about that stigma. I mean, you know, I'm a pastor in town, and I hope pastors are doing better as a group, but I know notoriously churches, our profession as pastors, have almost treated, like mental health, like it's anti-Christian.
Yeah, like it's the devil. Religion.
Yes.
It's
a
demon.
Speak to that a little bit. Maybe some of our pastors are listening out there, or some of our devout listeners that maybe think somehow that it's in conflict with their faith.
Well, I'll speak in I'll use Bishop Avery Burrow,
yes,
at Christ Temple.
Yes.
That's not his take on this. I want to lead out by saying that he has sort of a progressive perspective about mental health. That's why I'm at his church. This was something he asked me to do.
Yes.
He came to realize that, you know, it's not either or, it's both and.
Yes.
It's the same process that had to occur with, you remember, substance abuse counseling. Remember how it was, you know, you got to get more willpower. You just got to be stronger, you know. Yes. And it takes, you know, I've done this for more than 30 years, so I saw the evolution of this whole mindset or conceptual shift of treating mental health and treating substance use disorders. And I'm really honored that I'm at that point in my career, which is clearly closer to the end of my career than the beginning, but where I can truly delineate between the fallacy, if you will, of the past processes of treatment versus current, today, and progressively heading forward. So pastor's mentality, a mindset about treating mental health is cut and dry and clear. You need God, which is over it all, and you need God's people, God's messengers, God's ministers, all the above that have gone out, studied diligently, learned how to integrate the psychology, the therapy, the mental health skills and counseling with the spiritual, and help you develop what I call in psychology a conceptual shift in your paradigms, thinking.
Yes.
But it's just a matter of recognizing you have a problem. Here's some coping mechanisms you can use to change it. If in fact you need medical attention, low dose medication, ongoing counseling, amen, get it. But get what you need to get into a position to be more progressive, less self-destructive, and less depressed more times than not with obtaining the help you need. I hope that makes sense to you.
No, it does. As you're talking, I said, I probably sit in three categories that are hurdles to overcome to people getting the mental health they need. One, being a pastor in the Christian community. Two, I would say being an African American. And the third one, being a male. So you probably take a loaded gun to get.
Yes. Yes.
But what we're dealing with.
Because you think about it, I went out and started parading about this presentation a month ago, and you would expect, and it was free all over the community. I'm stuck now as to how to generate more interest in this conversation, because what I'm really frustrated with is constantly only getting the people who need these services when they're literally, like you said, with a gun pointed to them. You got the judge or the police, or you got some court system, DHS, squeezing them to come to counseling versus had you done these things preemptively, you know, we wouldn't be in this position that oftentimes we're faced with when they come to see me. So I don't know. I'll keep trying. I hope someone gives me a better, a new process or idea to make better headway in the beginning of the stages versus always in the later.
Yeah. And I want to commend Bishop Burrell again in his progressive mindset. You know, I haven't been a pastor over 20 years and been in local government leadership over 30 years. You know, I see church members, I see employees that I see issues with their mental health affecting their life. And sometimes it's difficult. Like, how do you, you know, again, if their leg was broke, hey, let's get you to the hospital. But having that conversation to say, you know, some of the things you're saying at work, it sounds like, you know, maybe you need to see a mental health professional. How do we engage even in that conversation with people? Okay. Cedric?
Yes, is that me breaking here? Is that my system going on?
Yeah, I didn't. We had a little pause there. I don't know if you heard my question.
No, I didn't.
Okay. I was saying, you know, from my both my professions, I've run across people
who
have had problems, and I didn't know how necessarily to engage in that conversation. I'm older now, so I just tell them, get some help. But I didn't know how to engage in that conversation with employees where they're talking about, this happened this weekend, this is going on in my life, to engage in that conversation to say, maybe you ought to look at getting some mental health. How do we engage people in that conversation? You there?
You just got me back. I'm going to try to go out on my phone even and see if I can secure it better. Because if it's me here, and you guys do this every day.
So it froze a couple times.
Okay.
All right.
I'm sorry. So what was your question? I'm sorry.
In my work setting, professional setting, how do we engage in a conversation with people when we think they ought to seek out mental health?
Well, you know, that's a risky and difficult process. Unless you have a relationship with the individual, oftentimes it can be misconstrued and more times than not diminish the relationship because of your questions. But if you have a relationship with the person and you can, and they respect your opinion or insight into something, then it's pretty simple. But saying it's like in drug and alcohol issues, denial is really the biggest barrier to counseling. So you have to kind of hit them with the facts, or if you will. Mm-hmm. Is this thing causing trouble in your life? Is the trouble in your life directly related to what you're perceiving may be a mental health disorder? And if it is, then the facts are inevitable. They speak for themselves, right? Mm-hmm. So then you get more traction with that person in terms of getting them leaning more toward going to talk to someone.
Yes.
Conversation, you know?
Yeah. And you know, one of the things, and we talk about people who may have a diagnostic disorder, but you know, we deal with people sometime they lost a parent or something, going through grief, or you know, we get a whole area of substance abuse, or so there's a lot of the areas other than just you've been diagnosed with this, or people you self-diagnose yourself. So a lot of areas again just where people could benefit from sitting down talking to somebody that's a professional.
Absolutely. And it's not, you see, part of the stigma or misconception about mental health is that the person, you know, one flew over the cuckoo nest.
Yeah.
The severe schizophrenia, that sort of thing, the Jack Nicholson, you know. Yes. But that's not the majority of the disorders we're talking about. And in the presentation, I go over that, the degrees of the mental health disorders. There's mild, moderate, severe. Okay. So moderate and mild is quite common in mental health disorders, more so than the severe. Here's the thing is, every one of us have some degree of anxiety or depression, right? Mm-hmm. And then you talk to your so-called social or normal drinkers, every one of them have some form of mild, moderate, severe aspect to their drinking relationship, right?
It's what I drink, yeah.
So, and I think that kind of is the biggest barrier and wall with most people, because they, no one wants to be deemed that they've gone beyond the norm of what's accepted in terms of A, our depression or mm-hmm. our anxieties, and also A, how much we are allowed to be able to drink and how many days a week we're allowed to be able to drink before we're defined as a lush, defined as an alcoholic. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So this is our game we play as a norm in our society versus being more proactive and saying, someone's got to tell them, I think you've gone over that norm.
Yeah.
I think you've gone over that line. And that's when most people will start taking a better look at themselves and seek help.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
We talked about this a little bit before, and you know, I don't want to say we're old fuddy-duddies, but marijuana became legal a couple of years ago and brought in a new substance that people use to sort of self-medicate and help themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Are you seeing, I mean, is it the same as alcohol? Are you seeing any differences where people were sort of using that to deal with some of their mental health issues?
Absolutely. And using it more freely and more frequently now because of the lack of the legal consequences behind it. But the effects are the same.
Mm-hmm.
You're still, the more you use, the more you'll need to use.
Okay.
More debilitating you'll become. You know, my standing joke always is when I were a cop was, we didn't have to worry about the weed head doing any armed robberies or breaking the injuries. Because when you get high, all you want to do is sit around and eat a pack of Oreo cookies or a pizza. It wasn't the weed heads. But, you know, that's a little humor, but it's still, the fact still remains is that it's debilitating. The aspects, especially because we have now the younger generation, younger and younger using it during a time when your brain is developing and you're smoking marijuana daily. That's the time when your brain is not developing in a healthy way.
Yes.
A motivational syndrome. And we forget that I don't care what dispensary it came out of. There's still more than 550 cancer causing agents in the chemical. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they're using a higher potency now. Back in the day when we were growing up, it was 6 to 8% max. That Sensimillion, Acapulco Gold, that Thai Stick, 6 to 8%.
Talking like
I know something about that, huh?
Yeah, well, yeah. I'm sure you read that somewhere.
According to my study,
extensive research back in the day. Yeah. Gregory T says he asked about this issue of self-medicating. How dangerous is it for people to self-medicate?
With marijuana, alcohol, or over the counter meds?
I think he's talking about trying to deal with maybe some of your mental health issues, whether it's drugs or alcohol.
It's just a mask. You
know, yeah.
Oftentimes it's just a mask, and sometimes it exacerbates the issue.
Think
about cannabis. Cannabinol is a psychoactive drug. In other words, kind of like you think of it like LSD. You know, anyone who uses it. Always, this is my standing joke with my adolescents that I mentor in my group is 12 to 17 year olds. And I said, you guys have the best ideas, the best rap songs when you're high. And if you didn't write it down, what happens to the song?
Up in smoke.
Up in smoke, literally. You know, and then you don't try and strive to recall or recant that song after you're sobering up or done with it. It's because the A motivational syndrome sits in, and the word is what it is. It's motivation is you got motivation, you're doing something. A motivational is not motivational. It's like atypical or typical.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So there's no motivation. The word is a motivational syndrome.
Mm.
And you see it more and more with so many unemployed youth and so many underemployed youth. Mm-hmm. So he asked, what's the risk? Severe risk. You're hiding or masking issues sometimes that really should require some medical attention or some more professional attention. I'll put it that way. Mm-hmm. And so you go on and you do that year after year, and before you know it, some of your key prime time years are just sloughed over, blown over, and you've acquired nothing.
Yes. Yeah. I want to shift because I want to make sure we talk about this. I know both personally and professionally, youth is a big part of your heart and why you do what you do. You recently gave a donation to the kids' trip to Africa. What motivated you to support that?
Primarily because of the trip itself, the value in that trip itself. But then, but the other side too is, I'm not too old or too callous minded to remember my youth and childhood growing up with not a lot of money. Folks, we never went hungry, obviously, but we weren't going in a whole bunch of camps. I couldn't afford a basketball camp. Mm-hmm. O.C. McCarty, we couldn't. Just keep it, you know.
Yes.
Uh-huh. O.C. McCarty paid for me to go to basketball camp out of his pocket, along with Robert Kitchen and Donnell Plummer, the Dave Bean basketball camp.
Okay.
And what that did, how that opened my eyes to potential for excelling further in athletics, especially basketball, is unspeakable. I mean, I don't have words to explain it. The experience here, I'm, 40-something years later, and 50 years later, I'm talking about that experience, okay?
Yes.
And so one of the students is at the school I work in, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursdays, and she is so excited about this, she could hardly think. She's so excited about the experience, and I know how valuable, how Paul has it set up and how they're going to get such a well-rounded academic experience with an experiential process we're going.
Yes.
It was a no-brainer. I mean, I went to Upper Bound, 10th grade, reluctantly. This girl, she's going, I mean, really, literally, you remember my brother John, he was a cop. And so Dr. Deese just saw me in the hall one day and said, you're going to Upper Bound. And I'm like, you know, so when I tell kids this today, they're like, how can someone, he's not your father or someone, tell you what you're going to do? You know, they don't remember. They never had the experience.
Right.
So he says, you're going. I told him, I'm not. I don't want to go, Dr. Deese. I didn't say I'm not, but I said, I don't want to go. He said, but you're going. And he went and told my mother, and my mother told my brother, and I was working for Coach McCarty at driver's training. And then the next day, the Upper Bound bus pulls up to the parking lot. You remember how school was in front of my mother's house there. And my brother John and Ruvale Martin was a cop, and the cop car started pulling up to my mother's house. And the suitcase came out.
You could even pack your old stuff.
So I was so upset about going. I thought Coach McCarty had betrayed me and everything, you know. And I was playing basketball. That was my 10th grade year. So I was on varsity with Coach McCarty. Yeah. And so I get to Kalamazoo, and I saw the most beautiful girl in the world, I thought, Lorianne Ledbetter. I look at Dr. Deese, and he looks at me. He says, close your mouth, son. There's 100 more where you came from. Had such a great time at Western. Yeah. She and I became good friends, and she was really athletic and fastest girl in Kalamazoo at the time. And and we spent 6 weeks there and immersed us in a college experience. Yeah. And so that was it. And the next year, Dr. Deese didn't have to look for me. We didn't go until June, and in January, I'm asking Dr. Deese when we're going, you know, when we're going back. So, I know how sometimes that can bring out the best in you and open your eyes to a greater experience. And so I don't want to belabor too long, but that's one of the reasons why I'll do it any day, anytime.
Sure. You know, you say two important things, and you talk about community. One is people looking out for your interests when you don't know yourself.
Right. I had no clue. I was a kid, 15-year-old.
Your brothers, people that know your family. You know, and we all got similar stories. We aren't here without a bunch of those stories. And the other part is not just people looking out for you, but other people investing something in you. And we talk about the kids' trip to Africa. Like I said, whether you put in a dollar or $1,000 or $10,000, you know, you get to be part of this trip and this experience for these young people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's oftentimes it wouldn't have happened without you. I would never have seen Dave Bean, Bob McAdoo, Bob Lanier. They had all the guys there. Terry Furlow. That was the premier basketball game.
Yes.
And playing with those guys, and Furlow talking smack, teaching us, telling us he's going to teach young Hikes, is what he called it. Young Hikes, we're going to teach you how to shoot this ball, young Hikes, you know. And remembering all that and how they treated us, how well they treated us. They treated us as we were someone, you know.
Okay.
And we were just kids, and they really revered us and treated us so well. I'll never forget it. And so I'm hoping that the same thing happens to these young people, and they remember how people made them feel versus why living through a community and a world all the time where they have to hear the negative thing that's being said about them, and they remember that. I want them to all be able to remember the way the trip and their experience there made them feel for the rest of their life. And that's what I remember about those experiences I shared with you. So I'm hoping the same for them.
Yeah. It makes a difference. Thank you for your leadership and giving. Hopefully it's an example to others. You can go into the station website. That's a kids' free trip to Africa. We thank you for your donation and all those who are continuing to donate. We want to continue to keep this going and show what we can do with and for each other as a community. Brother Scott, we're running close to the bottom of the half hour. Last 30 seconds here. Just it's National Mental Health Week, and your best 30-second pitch. Encourage people to seek out any mental health assistance they might need.
I do, and I will continue to encourage people to do that. And it's not what you think oftentimes. Counseling isn't for the destitute or deeply, severely injured, mental ill, so to speak. It is, but it's not. That's not 90% of the people who come to counseling. I have your doctors, lawyers, doctors' kids, nurses' kids, teachers, et cetera. And the resolution of their issues more times than not solved in a court and a quick stay, and they progress on and they're more productive, less self-defeating lifestyles thereafter for many other people that experience the counseling process. So keep doing it.
Brother Scott, appreciate you. It's Lazarus Man Consulting, 2416
Peck Street
in Muskegon Heights. Mm-hmm. Appreciate you, brother, and all you're doing. We'll connect soon. I got something I'm gonna lean on you to do for me and some brothers. We get together a little book club, so I'm gonna have you pop in on our Zoom book club real soon.
Okay, call me in. Right. I'm in. Yes, I read. I'm square. I read all the time.
All right. All right. Thanks again for joining us on Community Focus. All right, we're going to take a little commercial break. And when we come back, we'll have something else exciting for you. Well, good afternoon. Welcome back to Community Focus. We may have another guest joining us in this half hour. We'll hang on a second and see if our guest pops up here. I'm sorry. We do have our next guest here. I had to scroll down on the screen a little bit. Ladies and gentlemen, would you join me in welcoming to the program from I'm going to say the name wrong, from Compass Drug Screening. If she'll help me correct the name. Adrian Wheat Brown. Forgive me for that terrible introduction.
That was the worst.
It was, wasn't it?
I'm joking.
How are you this afternoon?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
Good. I know you have something you have to get back to. We got just a few minutes, but
yeah.
First, your name and your business name correctly, and then we'll talk about your program coming up.
Yeah. So my name is Adrian. I'm with Compass Drug Screening of West Michigan. And we are hosting a community DNA event tomorrow, actually, May 10th, in honor of Mother's Day. And we wanted to come talk to you today, Melvin, to get the word out.
Okay. For folks that may not know, tell people where you're located and for people that don't know about your business there, what all you do there.
Yeah. So we provide screening services for families, courts, businesses, community partners, everything from drug and alcohol screening, of course, hence our name, Compass Drug Screening, fingerprint screenings for background checks, and also DNA screenings, which we are bolstering up for tomorrow's event. And we are located at, we're right in the Heights, Muskegon Heights, at 3108 Glade Street. So that's right off Summit and Seaway. So we're right there, right in the community, giving back and hopefully hoping to see a lot of smiling faces tomorrow.
Okay. So the event tomorrow is from what time to what time?
Well, it's by appointment only, so we're not seeing any walk-ins. We can't do that tomorrow because we really want to ensure quality service and confidentiality, first and foremost. So you do have to have an appointment. You can submit your information to us by going to screenwithcompass.com, or you can call our main line, which is 616-828-1415. Okay. Now, if you have any issues getting through, make sure you go onto the website and sign up, and we'll be sure to contact you before the end of the day.
Okay. And so tomorrow you'll be folks can still get in, get appointments for tomorrow.
So spots are almost full though. And like I said, we're not allowing the walk-ins, but we have had such a good response, which is why I say if you can't get through, we are allowing people to still sign up through screenwithcompass.com to lock in that discounted rate. And then we can get you tested at a later date. Like I said, we're doing it by appointment only. We don't want too much foot traffic because we really want to ensure that confidentiality in the process and make sure that, you know, everyone who comes in feels comfortable.
Now, again, you said tomorrow you can do, I see something I'm going to ask you about on the list here, but they can do DNA drug screening and DNA screening.
Yeah, well, tomorrow's event is for is a community DNA event only.
Okay, tomorrow's just DNA.
Yep,
okay.
Community DNA event only. So it's really for anyone who's been putting off testing because of cost, or who really just want more insight into their health or family relationships. And the reason why I say health is because we're also doing DNA screening is a little bit more robust than what people think. Okay. Of course, it's the paternity, maternity, familial type testing. But we also do wellness screenings through DNA analysis. And what that means is, and this is especially good for Mother's Day, we do wellness screening. So you can get your DNA tested for skincare analysis, healthy weight management, and food sensitivities, pet sensitivities, that kind of thing.
Okay. I wanted to ask you about that because I don't know how progressive doctors in Muskegon are being about that. Had a daughter who had a bunch of issues. So we end up having to do like the DNA screen for certain medications. Found out there were some she could take and some weren't effective with her. And even the you talk about the allergens and even weight management. Yep. So I don't know how progressive Muskegon is, or hopefully getting more about using DNA for some of these issues.
Yeah, absolutely. We haven't seen many of the DNA wellness screenings in the market. Of course, the paternity, maternity testing, because that is what most people think about when they think about DNA testing. So I haven't really seen a lot of those in the market, but we are here now and we're willing to take you. We've seen a lot of interest in the sensitivities, like you mentioned, because obviously, you know, if you're sensitive to something, it's going to cause issues in your body. So it's good to know those up front. Or if you're not feeling quite right and you think you might have a sensitivity, it's really good to know. Okay. Even with your skin is, you know, an external representation of what works well for your body. Mm-hmm. So we can detect, you receive with the skincare DNA testing, you receive like a personalized report with recommendations tailored for products and ingredients that work well for you.
Oh, awesome. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, just folks always are concerned about things like this. You come in, you have this screening. Who gets this information?
So everything is confidential. We are, we, like I said, we do screenings for courts. We have federal contracts, businesses. So we take our HIPAA laws very seriously. Mm-hmm. And this is one of the reasons why we're not allowing the walk-ins screenings tomorrow as well, because of the confidentiality aspect. Sure. So all of the paperwork is handled via those HIPAA laws. Mm-hmm. And our internal processes. So no one sees it but us.
Okay, good, good. Yeah. Anything else folks need to know about the event tomorrow?
Nothing outside of what I said. But let's talk a little bit about pricing, because I know that that's been a big question for everyone who's calling. The community DNA event, of course, is to, you know, support those who have been, you know, putting off the testing due to cost. So for the traditional DNA testing that you think about, like I said, the familial testing, mm-hmm. and I want to get this right because I don't want anybody calling me saying I said it was something different. Hold on one second. So for the paternity testing, those services are listed at 25% off. So those are at $280 this for tomorrow's event. And then for all of the wellness screenings that I spoke about, skincare, weight management, the sensitivities. We also do the genetic screenings to pinpoint your ancestry. Those are 50% off. And those are about 90 to 100 bucks each. And so again, you can get registered at screenwithcompass.com or you can call 616-828-1415.
Okay. So when you do the genetic screening, do you, how do you do that? I shouldn't ask leading question. How do you put in one of those current, those databases, or how do you get the results from the genetic screening?
So what you'll receive is similar to what you would get at like a ancestry.com. It's the exact same thing. DNA 123andMe or whatever it's called. You get a geographic breakdown of where your DNA comes from. It goes back thousands of years with migration paths and regional matches, that kind of thing. And so you'll never have to guess anymore. You always know.
Good. Pretty cool. I hope folks will take you up on that as well.
Yeah, for sure. And like you said, I do have to cut this short because I have a Mother's Day event at my son's school, actually. And I know who his father is, so no need to get tested for me. But I do have to run and do that so he's not there disappointed. Sure. But I do appreciate the time. Again, screenwithcompass.com is where you can find additional information, and we're looking forward to seeing you.
All right. Take care. Happy Mother's Day. We'll talk to you later.
Thank you. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
And that was Adrian Brown from Compass Drug Screening. Hopefully, if you didn't sign up for that, if you still sign up for the event, let them know the need is there. A lot of good information. If you've never had any of those screens, not just for paternity, just a lot of tremendous information that you can receive from those DNA screen. So hope you'll take them up on that. A couple of things we normally do at the beginning of the hour. I want to make sure we get out there. I did not say, you may have seen on the screen, our program is sponsored by Bishop for your custom and entertainment needs. Go see the Bishop. Weather, it is sunny in Muskegon today. A little cool last night. Low of 33, high of 60 today. Tomorrow, low of 45, high of 67, still sunny. A beautiful sunny Sunday, low of 45, high of 71. Monday will be partly cloudy, a low of 50, high of 77. Tuesday, a 45% chance of rain, high 61, low of 73. Wednesday, high low of 61, high of 72. And next Thursday, are you ready for this? Low of 60. High of 80. So we're going to enjoy these beautiful May days as they come up on us here. A couple of other things. I want to give you top five news stories. You probably were looking for those at the beginning of the hour, but we had to jump right into our interviews. Top five news stories in no particular order, and these may not be your top five. Number one, I just saw this today. Former Supreme Court Justice David Sauter, 85 years old, passed away. He was appointed by George H.W. Bush in 1990, and he retired at the age of 69. Said he didn't enjoy being in Washington very much, but he has now passed. Number two story. We have a new pope, Robert Francis Prevost, also known to us now as Pope Leo XIV. He is 69 years old. If you may not have heard, he is the first American-born pope and the 267th pope, if you're counting. So congratulations to him. And he is now head of the Roman Catholic Church. Number three, we just heard this the other day. Former Grand Rapids Police Department officer Christopher Scherr, facing a trial in for manslaughter in Grand Rapids. There was no conviction and no acquittal. We had a hung jury. There were protests, different views. Just tie. Jury could not reach a decision. I don't know what will happen going forward specifically, but no decision by that jury. Number four, I got a 4A and I have a 4B. 4A, strange week in Muskegon Heights. A suspect was shot and killed. He had earlier engaged a Muskegon police officer, shot and wounded an officer. He was later, after an encounter with a citizen, was shot and killed himself. Just an unusual encounter. We'll look to hear more about that story as it unfolds. Also, I would say self-inflicted wound, but I won't say that. Last week, we talked about Adelaide Point, a massive marina and apartment and condominium complex opened in Muskegon. It only took a week. Ryan Lietzma and Emily Lietzma, who were heading that project up, have stepped down from leadership. There's a lot of, if you haven't seen the Facebook post and the letter written to the EPA by the Mr. Lietzma, I'll tell you, it was as a result, he has stepped down as CEO. Fifth story. I like to throw in a sports story. I'm not the biggest baseball fan. However, when there's something exciting going on, I tend to pay attention. The Detroit Tigers are leading the American League Central Division. They are also have the best record in the American League and are tied for the best record in Major League Baseball. So we had a good year for the Pistons, good year for the Tigers, and we're expecting the Lions to come back strong again in the fall. It's a good time to be in Michigan, and it's a good time to be a Michigan sports fan. All right. Those are our top five news stories of the week. I didn't say this last week. I used my dual citizenship between Michigan and Ohio. For some of you that may know, I spent some time in the great state of Ohio and am a graduate of the School of Public Administration at Ohio, the Ohio State University. Had a chance to travel to the great state of Ohio last week, sat in the stadium with 60,000 or so people, watched over 10,000 students graduate. I was there for my somewhat goddaughter, graduation. I say somewhat unofficial goddaughter, but one of my best friends from Ohio State, his daughter graduated, honor student. So we were invited to the graduation and graduation party and open house during the weekend. We had a wonderful time. My wife and my daughter and I spent the weekend down in Ohio. Rained, unfortunately, most of the weekend, but had a great time. I want to say congratulations to Madison. We had a tremendous time there, and also thank her family. We just had a good time at Ohio State. So again, shout out to you, Madison Mason. We're very proud of you. All right, folks, that is going to be our program for today. We're going to wrap up a little bit early. This has been Community Focus. You know, my brother, Gregory T., who we hope to be back here soon, always encourages us to get out and do something tremendous for folks. So you know what? This is Mother's Day weekend. So I don't know how much prodding I really need to do. If your mother is still alive, your grandmother, someone who treated you like a son or a daughter, show them some love this weekend. If your mother is passed, you know what? If she did some good things in life, honor her, give some love to somebody else, honor her by being a good parent. But find some way, if you don't have that person in your life, find a way to honor the person who was a mother in your life that's no longer here. So great weekend to show some people some love. A tremendous weekend to get out. It's going to be beautiful. Get out and plant some flowers, buy some flowers, share some love. Find a way to be a blessing to somebody else. This has been Community Focus, your community news and information program. We'll hope to see you next Friday.